are listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on the Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, the Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers.
I think we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
I don't know why it does that. But I do know why sometimes... Oh, by the way, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I do know why sometimes it has done that in the past, but that's not what the situation is right now, so I'm not really sure why it's done that. Okay. Off to the races, huh? Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, and whoever you are, wherever you are, we're glad you're here, all around the world. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome. We're glad to have you, and I want to especially welcome our new friends over in the Art Bell Room over at Pal Talk. They're streaming us live starting tonight, and that's a good thing, so welcome. I am certainly glad that we're being streamed into the Art Bell Room at Pal Talk. Okay, if you are new, if this is your first time to join us here at the Kevin Smith Show, you need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter. Now, that free weekly newsletter is called the K-Files E-Zine, and the K-Files E-Zine... You can subscribe in about 20 seconds, and you can unsubscribe just as quickly, anytime you want. No strings attached, and we don't share our mailing list with anybody, all right? So get over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to the K-Files E-Zine. You really need to do that. Also, while you're over there, take a look at our gift shop. Some of you have... done that before. Some of you have not, but you need to take a look at our gift shop, because that's where you can get Kevin Smith Show t-shirts, coffee mugs, mouse pads, all kinds of neat stuff, and you need to do that, because those are going to be going away. That style is going away. Something new is coming, so grab them while you can, all right? When we added the video, now those of you who are at my site and you are you're listening via our player, you're also, if you're on broadband, you're able to see the show. We have video. And I would encourage all of you to do that, because it just makes it, you know, a little bit more interesting. And then, you know, you can see my face. I have a face made for radio, believe me. But those of you who are at my site are seeing that. And when we added the video, I think that may be what causes that little glitch at the beginning. I'll have to work on that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, my guest is supposed to be Robert Felix. We've not been able to connect with him yet, but we'll see.
most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. All the night should have. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. That time it was the volume. I'll get the hang of this. You know, with enough practice, I may actually get a real full-time job here. I don't know why things are so discombobulated this evening, partly because I have not been able, for whatever reason, to get in touch with our guest. And I really was looking forward to being able to talk with him about global warming. You know, he's been on the show before, and he's got a book called Not by Fire, but by Ice. And it is a blockbuster book. And now, you know, when it first came out, there were a lot of detractors, but a whole lot of what he put in that book has come to pass. And now there are major scientists all around the world who are saying that the global warming information, and these are not, I mean, we're talking about Nobel laureates. How about this? The founder of the Weather Channel. Now, you know, you go to the Weather Channel to get your news about the weather, right? And the founder of the Weather Channel is even in this group. Just major, major people and major scientists, Nobel Prize winners, that are coming out. And you know, I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to say, well, you know, Al Gore got a Nobel Prize. Yeah, but he's not a scientist. And these are. These are scientists who receive the Nobel Prize for science, climatologists. And they're saying, you know, the evidence is just not there. There is warming, but it is being caused by the sun
and by the cycles it's going through. And the NASA, look, NASA has just said they've got a new satellite up called Jason, and NASA has just said that we are entering into a 20, probably about a 23-year cooling period. So, you know, the evidence that is scientific is stacking up against the global warming craze. And there's a very interesting article that was written by the president of the Czech Republic. And he said, so, you know, what's happening here is, you know, it's not that the climate is, our climate is going away. It's that freedom is going away. Yeah. Well, what we're going to do, because we can't get our guest on the line, is we'll open up the telephone lines now. We'll just go open line. And it's not often that we've done open line as a result of not being able to get in touch with our guest. But it has happened before, and we shall survive. And we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. But I kind of want to continue with that theme. As for me, I want to continue with that theme and see if we can perhaps get some information out that we intended to get out tonight. The theme of what's going on with this global warming thing. You know, the last time I devoted a show to this was when was right after the Al Gore movie, and I had lots of email from people who said, "Oh, you're just you just don't like Al Gore." That has absolutely nothing to do with it. I actually kind of like Al Gore. And I don't mean politically, because I'm an apolitical animal. But I actually kind of like Al Gore. But, you know, the facts is the facts, ma'am. And the inconvenient truth is a movie that has been adjudged as a result of a lawsuit in England. It was judged by the court to be primarily political propaganda as opposed to being scientific. And the inconvenient truth about the inconvenient truth is it presents a premise that isn't supported by the actual factual data. Now, I'll get all kinds of hot email as a result of making that statement, but it's a truth anyway. You know, Galileo, he got a lot of hot email too, didn't he? But he was right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, yeah, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to hearing your guest too. Hopefully we can reestablish connection with him.
Well, we have to establish connection before we can reestablish.
Well, yeah. Well, you talked to him before, so it still is reestablishing connection because you had him before.
All right, if you say so.
Anyways, I'd really like to welcome our new affiliates to the Kevin Smith Show. I think probably the first time that a chat room has become an affiliate of a radio show, wouldn't you say?
Actually, we had a Pal Talk chat room streaming us once before, and they the whole chat room had to close down for some reason, something to do with the moderator of the chat room or the owner or whatever it's called moved out of the country or something.
Oh, okay.
But this, it's not the first, but it's certainly the first time we've been in the Art Bell Room.
Well, we're calling it a Tez's room right now on Pal Talk because we likely will be having to change the name of the chat room pretty soon. And so I'd like to welcome them to as a member of the Kevin Smith Show family.
All right. Hey, if you're going to change the name, just go ahead and change it to the Kevin Smith Show chat room.
Well, you know what? I'm actually thinking of doing just that. Well, I got to talk with Tez about that first. But, yeah, some people are, I've been hearing, reading a lot of stuff about, you were talking about freedoms and losing their freedoms. We're hearing a lot of, from sources that I got, that something big is going to be happening, possibly next month, involving a terrorist attack that's going to lead to martial law.
And, well, you know, I've been hearing that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the wind. It may happen. I'm not going to say that it will not happen, but I'll be honest with you. It's not something that I worry about, and the reason I don't worry about it is because there's not anything anybody can do to stop it. If it is going to happen, then it will happen. I don't worry about it.
Well, because this source is a former CIA agent, too, so there's, that brings a little bit of credibility to the whole New World Order scenario. And somebody asked me, like, why is this proposed New World Order moving so quickly? If it is in fact true, I think it's because a lot of people are, too many people are waking up to it, wouldn't you say? And I think a lot of people are also waking up to the extraterrestrial agenda, too, because UFO activity has just been off the charts recently.
Well, you know, if let's go back to the New World Order that you were mentioning. If the New World Order is, in fact, moving rapidly, as people say it is, if that's happening, I think it would be because they think they've got things in place.
Well, I know they've got the concentration camps in places. I know because I've seen them.
I remember we talked about this once before, and you were telling me about one that you saw.
Yeah, there's one just a few hours northwest of here.
Have you got your reservations?
Well, you know what? I have a funny feeling that I've already been black flagged.
Well, maybe I have. I don't know, and I don't worry about it.
Well, I think I'll be joining. I think I'm pretty sure I'll be joining Mr. Jones and Mr. Mars and Quayle and Sarian and probably one of them if they can catch me.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if they have all of the technology and powers and abilities that have been ascribed to them by so many people that talk about them, they'll catch you.
Oh, I have a few little tricks up my sleeve that I've been talking with some people who know how to fight these guys off, so I'll at least be able to avoid them anyway, to hide from them.
Well, I wish you luck, man. Send me the secret.
Well, I don't think it's going to really come to Canada for another few months first, but to tell you the truth, the world elite have been here in Canada. This New World Order nonsense has been in Canada long before it was with the United States, because, you know, the world banking elite, they started their stuff back in the 1800s, back in England with the Rothschilds. And guess who was part of England back in the 1830s?
Who?
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've been stuck under the New World Order banking elite for a long time. The banking elite with the Rockefellers only really, I guess, started taking over down south of the border back in 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve, and then started taking over the country economically.
So do you think there's a link between that and anything extraterrestrial?
When it comes to the New World Order, I try to stay away from the extraterrestrial agenda, but I do believe that they've been using extraterrestrial technology back-engineered from downed UFOs to their advantage.
All right. I want to thank you for the call. I got a question for you, though, now about the global warming thing. Now, listen to this. This is from Václav Klaus, president of the Czech Republic, presenting his new book to the National Press Club May the 27th of this year. And here's what he says. He says, I ask, what is endangered, climate or freedom? My answer is, it is our freedom.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
That's what he said.
And as for global warming, rubbish. I think it was just another Y2K-like ploy. I think that's all it was. Just a scam to get people off the real issue and a scam to make money. I think that's all it was, like Y2K was.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's very difficult for me sitting in the desert out here in Phoenix to say that I don't believe in global warming. because it is hot. I mean, really hot. And this is just the beginning. Most people think, well, you know, if we have a summer where we get to 102, 105, boy, that's a hot summer. We would like to get down to that. We were at 112 today.
Well, last summer, like, I always knew that this global warming stuff was a bunch of rubbish. But last June, it was the end of June, and somebody, it was about 95 degrees outside, and somebody comes and tells me, well, this is a global warming. I told him, like, buddy, it's the end of June. It's summertime. 95 degrees is normal.
Yeah. Well, it's normal for us to be hot here. It's not normal for us to be this hot this quick. And but now I was here when, for a record-setting day, I was here when we had 122 degrees. And that was a few years ago. It really, really gets hot. But here's the point. You can't look at temperatures in one location to determine if the Earth, if the mean temperature of the Earth is getting warmer. Well, and NASA says it's getting cooler.
Well, you got opinions on both sides, but in my opinion about the global warming, I think it's rubbish. This thing about the Earth cooling off, I still need to do a little bit more research on that. But this global warming, I mean, Al Gore's global warming there, absolutely. If there is global warming, I think Mr. Gore, I think he exaggerated it like much worse than it really was. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what I think about it. I'm for me, the jury's still out on what's causing it. But I'm just absolutely certain it isn't us. And the reason I am certain of that is because it's happening four times faster on Mars, and we're not over there.
Yeah, and it's happening all throughout the solar system.
Yeah, every planet.
On every planet.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we're going through a cycle, and I think this cycle it's a bit rough right now, and it's going to head back towards cooler temperatures, and it's going to be rough then, too.
Well, I think Jason Rand from last night, you know, I think, look at maybe some of his theories on it, and I think that might be the reason that that incoming planet or dwarf star that's coming, that's barreling through our solar system, and that'll cause solar flares, and that can cause global warming, too. And if that is the star that's coming through the solar system, then that's going to cause extra heat also.
Well, you've heard me say it. I think there's evidence that something is certainly putting pressure on our solar system.
Well, yeah, because they couldn't find what's causing the heavy perturbations on Neptune. Because, you know, you find the perturbations, they found the other planets, and then you got the perturbation of Neptune. They couldn't find what did it, and they thought it was Pluto, but then it turned out to be too small. And the perturbations that the planet was having was indicative of a large body planet, like a possible.
So you think it's Planet X?
Absolutely, it has to be, because the size of the perturbations of Neptune, that the perturbations it's having, it has to be a planet, and judging by the evidence and the stuff that I've read about, it has to be Planet X. That's hard evidence of its existence right there.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. All right. Boy, we covered a lot of territory there, didn't we? One of the things you know, a lot of times people send me email and say, well, you know, why don't you cover this? Why don't you cover that? And, you know, a lot of times the topics that I don't cover are covered on Open Line Live. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hello, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. Look, that was a great show last night. Great show. I want to make a couple of points. One is about that New World Order Illuminati deal. You know, controlling the weather and all that. I think it's irrelevant right now. I think if there was a terrorist attack, well, then, you know, then you could get a little control that way. And with floods happening, you know, you could control if food goes up. If many things could happen to where things would be a little chaotic here. You know, the war, Israel and Iran or whatever, that could, you know, possibly, if things happen, could cause fuel to double than what it is now. So, I mean, the price of things would go up. And so I can see, you know, that happening, you know, in the future. And maybe they're just foreseeing that inflation here and the lack of us, you know, not drilling for the last 20 years has caught up with us. And they foresee this, and they see an economic collapse and therefore chaos. And you know, that's what a lot of these cities are for, maybe to keep people out. But who knows? But as far as global warming, Kevin, just think about this for a minute. If the gases that we expel and the animals on this planet expel are actually killing the planet, that means that, and also the planet itself is killing itself, then that means it's been doing that for 3 billion years or more, and we've had multiple different eras of life, and all the life is continuously poisoning the planet, yet it's still alive, producing life, and life is thriving. So you would have to believe that for us to be causing this. And that, to me, is silly thinking.
Well, do you think that we may be adding to the problem?
Oh, adding to the effect, maybe? But the problem, that's what I'm saying. It's not a problem. It's been doing this. I mean, we're not putting, you know, anything in the air that the planet hasn't been doing for years. And so, I mean, that's the whole point. All these gases, carbon monoxide, I mean, all of them, it's part of photosynthesis. I mean, you know, plants use it and create oxygen for us to breathe. So acting like it's a poisonous gas is ridiculous, is what I'm saying. And so if our cars were expelling, you know, gaseous forms of xenon or argon or something, I mean, well, then that might be cause for alarm, or, you know, like, I don't know anything a lot about chemistry.
Well, let me tell you something about CO2. I don't think that CO2 is causing global warming. And the reason I don't think so is if we assume that NASA has told us the truth about conditions on Mars, the primary gas in that atmosphere on Mars is CO2. Why isn't Mars hotter than Hades?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Now, here's another thing. Having said that, I don't think that us putting CO2 in the atmosphere, I don't think that's causing global warming, and neither do a lot of these scientists that I'm going to share with you tonight. But I'll tell you this, CO2 displaces oxygen, and if you put enough of it into the atmosphere, you can make our atmosphere unbreathable, even though CO2 is not toxic. If you walk into a cloud, a thick cloud of CO2, you will not likely walk out the other side. If you stay in for very long, there's no oxygen in it.
I agree. Plant life is essential for us and trees. And so, you know, I think we should have probably long ago spent a lot of money going out there in California, cutting down as many dead trees as we can and setting up, you know. But, I mean, we probably had wildfires.
Trey, we're into a break, man. I got to run.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks, we will be back right after this. over on my website, there is a poll, and that poll asks you, do you think that I should shelter you from having to hear guests that say things that are that upset you, it's out of the norm, right? And I have asked people, do you think I should shelter you from listening to guests that rock the boat, so to speak? And amazingly, there are about, I looked before the show, I think it's at about 5% who said, yes, they think I really should shelter you from that. And that really surprises me. And I have to tell you, you're going to be disappointed because I will not shelter you from hearing things that are challenging. Now, we have had guests on this show who, after they've been on this show, it's pretty interesting. I'll get email from someone who says, man, that was one of the best shows I've ever heard. And then the next email I open says that person was a fruitcake. This was nuts. Controversial information is always going to do one thing, create controversy. This show always presents guests who have information that is controversial. I hope you understand, we had Dr. Michio Kaku here on the show. And while you and I have the greatest respect for Dr. Michio Kaku, you have to understand there are scientists out there who think his string theory is nutty. Dr. Michio Kaku knows that and understands that. It's controversial. Although it is widely accepted, it's not fully accepted. When Galileo said, you know what, guys, the Earth is not the center of the universe with everything revolving around it. It is in motion around the sun. When he said that, that was controversial. They thought he was a fruitcake. They thought he was nuts. Copernicus said the same thing. They thought he was nuts. What did they do? They rejected what he said. He was discredited among all of the PhD snobberies. But who was right? Well, it's easy to see who was right. Galileo was right. And so we have the same kind of situation with the global warming information. And, it's just not cool to stand up and say, well, wait a minute, the picture you're painting doesn't match the data. It's not cool to do that. But in time, those who stick with the data are going to win this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you for having Jason Rand on last night. He in my book, he is like Brooks Agnew. Very interesting to listen to, and he can field any question that anyone throws at him. I tend to agree with Kevin from Toronto. I think that Planet X is causing the increase in the global warming situation that we've got, number one, and number two, the increase of all this violent weather that we're having. And I just really found it fascinating that Jason was talking about all these things that are happening. I mean, he was tying, he wasn't really like relying like a whole lot on the Bible and stuff, but he was taking some passages from there, which kind of made it interesting and in how he correlated with what he was had written in his book. And that's the kind of discussions I like.
So it doesn't make you nervous if someone ties something from the Bible into their discussion?
No, as long as it's not line for line verbatim. You know what I mean?
Well, Well, I'm not interested in it if it's been monkeyed with.
Exactly.
I want it line for line, verbatim. If they're going to quote it, quote it. Same with the Bhagavad Gita, same with the Quran. If you're going to quote it, give it to us straight.
True. But I just thought it was interesting how he did some correlations between, like, the naming it Wormwood. I never even considered that. I always thought of it, you know, as Planet X or, you know, even Nibiru. But he was just very interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think his position was that Nibiru is a planet that is in orbit around this brown dwarf.
I missed, like, the first half of the show. I came in, like, around maybe 10:45 or something like that. So I didn't hear everything that he had to say. But I just thought it was really interesting. Now, the lady that you had on Monday night.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she's very good at what she does, but I was incredibly bored.
Well,
maybe.
Were you listening with a computer?
Mm-hmm.
There is a boredom device on your computer.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, if you push it, the computer turns off.
That's what I pretty much did. I went to, I was actually doing some research and stuff, so. But nothing personal against the show. She feels that what she's doing is of some value, and I'm sure it is, but I wasn't very impressed.
Well, I mean, do you know who Richard Hoagland is?
Yes, I know Richard. I met him and talked to him in person at the UFO World Congress back in 2006. He's a very interesting man to talk to.
So you like him?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you aware of the fact that when he first began to talk about the face on Mars, he got the same reaction from the public?
Really?
He was laughed off of TV shows and radio shows. He was laughed out, and I'm exaggerating. Not exaggerating. I'm characterizing. He's been attacked by scientists at NASA, by scientists everywhere else. And, you know, there's been all kinds of things written about him and said about him.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He was right.
Well, I knew all along he was right.
The point is, when he first began to talk about it, it sounded so crazy that nobody believed it.
Well...
And I don't know. I mean, you know... all I can say about the guest you're referring to and the photographs is that in some of the photographs I can see some of what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. In most of them I cannot, and I said so on the air.
Right, and yes, you did. I mean, and like I said, it's nothing personal against her. I mean, I'm sure that she feels her work is important, and it probably is in its own way. But it's very easy at times. If you take out specific colors and put other colors in, sometimes you can see things there and other times you can't. And sometimes the things that you see are actually an optical illusion. We can make ourselves do that.
Yeah.
If we really strongly believe that we look at a specific picture and, you know, say, well, okay, I see a firefly in it or something, you know, in a field of green or what have you. I'm just using that as an example. But there's no firefly there.
Yes, you can.
And the photo says, hey, I see a firefly. But somebody else is looking at the same photo says, well, I don't see one. So
yeah.
Who's to believe?
Yeah. Well, you see what you see. And, you know, my approach, this is the thing that still... after a show like that and the emails that I get and the responses of people, I sit back and just have a good hard chuckle because I still cannot understand why people are so emotionally wrapped up with believe or don't believe. What is there to believe? Either you see it or you don't. If you don't,
right.
You don't.
Right. That's the whole thing. And like I said, I'm sure that what she is doing, she feels is important as much as what Jason's doing, or as much as what Dr. Agnew's doing, or Richard, or anybody like that. And I respect what she's trying to do, but my dad was a photographer in the Air Force many years ago when he was full-time active for 6 years. And that's what he did here at Rickenbacker. He was, Rickenbacker here in Columbus. He was in charge of the photo department, and he was very good with a camera. He could do a lot of trick photography and things like that. And for back in the 50s, he was pretty damn good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today, of course, with Photoshop and all these other really cool things that you can do on your computer, I mean, it's almost like, you know, having a magic sleight of hand or something. You can just do that on your computer, and you can make something that wasn't in a photo suddenly appear.
Well, yeah, you can. But here's the deal, and this is the crux of it, really. We present guests who are making waves. This lady is making waves all the way to Dick Cheney's office.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because she's been emailing him these photographs, and she's been sending emails asking him to explain this and explain that she sees in the photographs, having to do with what she thinks are military installations on Mars. And so you can bet she's not someone they haven't taken notice of. We're going to hear sooner or later about Emily Craig. And I don't think that it's smart for us to sit back and listen to what other people say about her. I think it's smart to listen to her and hear for ourselves what's going on. She's got NASA in a stir, too. She's, you know, she's sending a lot of emails to NASA. Hey, we're into a break. I want to thank you for that call. And if you don't like controversy, you're not going to like this show, I guarantee you that. We'll be back right after this break.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back. On your screen, if you're watching our video feed, is vansforvets.org. And I want to just add this to what you just heard about Vans for Vets. You know, when we ask these very special people to stand up and to wear the uniform of our country, they did. And they've been seriously injured, some of them maimed horribly. And they need us to stand up. Vans for Vets is really, really a super organization. And, you know, as you start your celebration for July the 4th, that's coming up for those of you in the United States of America. And as you start that celebration, you know, there's parades and there's special TV shows and there's special sporting events and picnics and family outings, all kinds of things happening. Don't forget these very special people, these heroes. This is really your opportunity for you to be a hero. We can do it. All we have to do is go over to Vans for Vets, and there are other organizations, but this one I think is so practical. Go over to Vans for Vets. Your tax-deductible donation in any amount will help wounded veterans to get the vehicles that they need to resume life as normally as possible. Vans for Vets provides them with, you know, the special vehicles that are specially outfitted so that they can resume life as normally as possible. Let's do it for them. They deserve it. All right, I'll just leave that up there for a little bit in case you want to write it down, vansforvets.org. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. I'll give it again, 623-581-5148. And, you know, it's open line. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It seems the topic has kind of swung to the controversial. You know, the guest that we had night before last. Very controversial information, and I'm, you know, it amazes me how many folks, of course, we have, you know, thousands of people around the world that listen to this show, and but it amazes me how many people say, well, I can't believe you had this guest. Well, I mean, we have people that say, thank you for having this guest. It was very interesting. But it amazes me. I can't believe you would have this guest. Do you hear what you're saying? What you're saying is, we want you to restrict freedom of speech and freedom of information. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I've had Michael Tsarian on this show. And he's a highly controversial individual. But he comes on the show and says what he says. The guest presents his or her information, and they have to stand on their own two feet and answer your questions. What also amazes me is how many people send me an email that says, well, you should have asked this and you should have asked that. And I said it last night, and I'll say it again tonight. You should have asked it. We have ways for you to do that. 623-581-5148. If that question occurred to you, you should have asked it. You should have called in and asked that question. It is, after all, a talk show. But I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying I'm amazed at people that, you know, people talk about the New World Order, and they talk about how the New World Order and the Illuminati want to limit our freedom and want to take away our freedoms. I'm not saying that that's not true. What I am saying is the very same people, some of the very same people that talk about that, want me to limit freedom of speech and freedom of thought by protecting you from hearing the controversial. It's not many, really. It's about 5%. But even 5% amazes me. I guess I'll never get used to the idea that there are people who think that we're only supposed to present information that affirms what they already believe. The problem is, see, the problem is the talk show host. The problem is, I don't believe. A thing is either true or it is not true. Believe is what people do when they don't have enough evidence to show them whether it's true or not true. Then they say, well, I believe it this way. I don't. If I don't have enough evidence to show me that A is true as opposed to B, then I don't believe A. Does that mean I believe B? No, if I don't have enough evidence to show me that B is true as opposed to A, I don't believe it either. So I disbelieve both of them? No. I simply say both are very interesting points of view. Both present interesting cases. I don't have enough evidence to make a decision yet. You know, freedom of thought means you have to not only be free to think, you have to free yourself to think. And if you wrap yourself up and tie yourself down with, well, I believe this and I believe that, you're just going to go through an emotional hell as you go through life. That's my opinion. Maybe it's not yours. You can tell me what yours is. You can agree or disagree, because this talk show host does believe in freedom of speech. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. There's a big background buzz, but I can hear you.
Ring out. Well, I've got this new magic jack. Should I turn off my audio or video?
Well, it doesn't seem to be interfering with it.
Okay, well, if you can hear me, what I called about tonight was there's been scuttlebutt out there on the internet about this Internet 2 coming up. I think we've discussed it a little bit in the past, but I can't find a whole lot out about it on the internet. And from what little indications I have seen, though, if they do implement this, it could mean the end of the Internet as we know it.
I think it will mean the end of the Internet as you know it. If they do it. I think so.
That's about all I had. I just wondered if you'd heard any more and could reiterate on it a little. That's all.
Well, I think we're probably 18 months to 2 years, maybe 2.5 years away from implementation, if they do it. It, at this point, still has to get a lot of approval from Congress, and I'm not sure they will. I'll tell you why. It's true that the communications companies are lobbying Congress hard and hot and heavy about this. It is true that there will be some congressmen who take the money and sell their vote. At least that's the way I would characterize it. But it's also true that there are lots of people in Congress, and that, of course, includes the House of Representatives and the Senate. That's what Congress is. It's the two of them together. So there's a lot of people in there that have awakened to the fact that they can raise literally millions and millions of dollars via the Internet. And there's one candidate right now, of course, that is very successful with that. I don't think they're going to give away the opportunity to raise all that money on the internet. I don't think they're going to sign that away. So I think there's some hope that it may continue as we know it, pretty much. We're into a break, John. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right. Okay, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. And we are back. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Philip from Toronto.
From Toronto. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I just wanted to talk about this pet peeve that you have. People saying, I believe in this, I believe in that.
Yeah?
I think there's an explanation. I think I have it. People are using the word believe or I believe in the context of, I have an opinion, I am of the opinion that so and so. I think they're doing it without their knowledge. You understand? I think it's in the way of speaking, because I've always observed people say, I believe. I mean, they say, I believe the car was red. I mean, what's there to believe in if a car was red or black? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do, and I think there, for a significant number of people, that is true. There are people, however, that when they say I believe, they mean they believe.
Yeah, I mean, to have conviction or to have faith. I think that's, they're using it in that way, but that's the wrong way of using the word belief. I think that's what.
Well, yeah, you know, the word believe is, we misuse that word in English just like we misuse the word love. People say, I love chocolate cake.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and we misuse it that way, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, if we're talking about UFOs or if we're talking about global warming or we're talking about the existence of extraterrestrials or any of these topics that we talk about here on the show, people become really religious.
Yeah, I know.
And there's just a religious fervor and a righteous indignation about them when I get these emails and sometimes with calls. And, you know, the I fear for the future.
Yeah.
If that is allowed to be in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I know. And also I wanted to talk about, I mean, all the people who are calling up your show and saying that they're against the New World Order and all that, all those things. My question is, what are they going to do about it? I mean, if the people are, I mean, the people in the New World Order, they're so clever, they've become rich. So obviously they know more about things, how things work in the world than the rest of the population. So it's like you gave an example. I mean, there's a huge wave coming. You cannot block that wave. It's either you ride it or you get out of the way, right?
That's right. If there's a huge tsunami on the way in, and you stand on the beach and shake your fist at it and say, by God, I'm not moving, it'll kill you.
Yeah, but what I've heard, I mean, what I've gathered from most of the people calling the show is many people have a North American-centric view. I mean, they think that the New World Order is only concerned about North America. What about the rest of the world? I mean, if they say that there are certain concentration camps being built in states of Utah and all that, and if the New World Order decide to activate their plans and they just grab all the people and try to shove them in these concentration camps, what about the rest of the world? I mean, what do the people who call the show think, that the rest of the world does not exist?
You know, there are stories of these concentration camps in other countries as well. Here's the problem with that. Can it be proven that there are installations that, for all the world, appear to be concentration or prison camps? Apparently it can. I have not seen I haven't been to one of them. I haven't seen it, but there are, you know, we had a caller from Canada that called in and said, I've seen them.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so, you know.
Yeah, I know that. But
I don't know what those are for. And my head is not in the sand. My antenna is up. I'm listening. I'm paying attention. But I don't think any of us can say that we know for sure what they're for. But I like what you said.
Yeah. Well,
even if we knew that that's what they are.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? I don't understand. I mean, and anyway, one more opinion. This is just my own personal opinion. All the people who are opposing the New World Order, I mean, those people are calling it, and whoever is opposing, are they living such a great life? I mean, are they driving around BMWs? Are they living in seven-bedroom mansions? No, they're just living simple lives. So, I mean, those lives are not any great. You know, you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but you know what? Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. First, let me ask you this. Are you in favor of the New World Order?
No. I'm not in favor of anyone controlling my life, but But what I'm trying to say, most of the people in the world, all over the world, I do not have a North American-centric view. All I'm saying, many people in the world do not know how to live their lives. If you remember, I called up before.
Yeah, I remember.
Most of the people, they live their lives making the same mistakes, knowing that they're making the same mistakes. They're not living such fabulous life. You get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not in favor of the New World Order,
but
do you recognize that it exists?
it might exist. It doesn't matter whether I accept it or not. If it exists, it exists, like you say. My opinion does not matter in if something exists or not. What I'm trying to say is, like, I'd like to give you two quotes. One is one of my favorite actors, Will Smith. He once said, okay, now here's a man who has gone through all trying times and he has succeeded in whatever he wanted to do. And he has only one motto in life. He says that many people buy things that they do not like, all right, with money that they do not have to impress people they do not like. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
That is what people are doing. Now, they cannot put the blame on the government or some new world order or anything like that. The problem is with the media and with everyone. Society as general is no one is ready to take personal responsibility. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yes, and you know, what you're talking about really goes hand in glove with what I was saying about presenting controversial information.
Yeah.
Anything that forces us to think outside our already well-established comfort zone is going to be controversial.
Yeah.
But just because it's new to us doesn't mean that it's wrong, and it doesn't it just because it's controversial doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to think about it and examine it.
People are not ready to think. I mean, for me, I have one motto in life. Life is like walking on broken eggshells. The point of life is not to break those eggshells any further. You understand what I'm saying? Life is tough. Every choice you make, you have to think and make sure that what the choice you're going to do is right for your life and for your family. Most of the people do not do that. They just watch the TV, watch commercials that come on TV, which say that you deserve this thing, you deserve this new car, you deserve this new TV, you deserve, and buy this TV or buy this car on credit approval. I mean, what kind of responsible person will go buy a car or a TV with money you don't have?
But you know, there are tons and tons of folks in that boat, and you know, and it's the crunch is on now. Yeah. Listen, thanks for the call. Interesting thoughts. All right, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. Again, that's 1-623-581-5148. And it is open line. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. David from Flint, Michigan.
Hi, David.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a little problem with this concentration camp thing. I don't quite buy that. I think the American people or even the people of the world, I mean, that's what revolutions are made for. People ain't going to stand by and just let people round them up and put them in concentration camps. I just can't believe that. But on the other hand, this government, I guess I they're arrogant enough, I would say they would probably like to try.
Well, look, you know, I've heard all this stuff that is really at a boiling point right now, and people are talking about it. I've been hearing this for 20 years. Honest to God, I've been hearing this for 20 years. And back before there was an internet, I don't know how old you are.
45.
Okay, before there was an internet, there were computer bulletin board services all over the United States. And they were like little miniature internets. Okay? So you have a guy running a bulletin board out of his house. You've got another one running it out of an office, and it's a business, and it's a huge multi-line bulletin board. And so this information, and there was something called FidoNet. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
But it was a email system where me on the bulletin board that I go to, I could send an email to you at your bulletin board that you go to. Okay, so it was an early email packet system that passed email around the world, okay, before there was an internet. All right, now, way back then when things were that primitive, this kind of information was coming up, was coming out, and I was aware of it then. Here's the problem you're going to have. I'm not going to say that it cannot be done, the, you know, rounding people up and putting them in concentration camps. But the problem that you would have is that you would have instantaneously a civil war between the soldiers who are loyal to the Constitution and those who are not.
Right.
You would have instantaneously joining that civil war police officers loyal to the Constitution and those who are not. There would be a total, complete breakdown of the government.
Exactly.
Now, I don't think, I mean, are there people who plan to do that kind of, probably there are.
Probably, I agree with that.
You know, and, you know, are these plans discussed and are they talked about in secret meetings? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, along with everything else you can think about. But could it be implemented? I have serious doubts about that.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't been in the military. I was an international police officer.
Right.
But I worked in war zones right alongside our military, often on the same patrol with them. And, you know, the most of the people that I went on patrol with and that I got to know that are in our military are some of the finest patriots that you'll ever meet, totally loyal to the United States of America and to the Constitution.
Right.
And I just have a real hard time
yep.
thinking that they, you know, and by the way, it is part of their military code. It's part of the military code of justice. It is a law for them that if they are given an unlawful order, they are under obligation to refuse it.
That's good.
Okay, I mean, that's part of the code of military justice.
Right.
It is also part of the criminal code that governs police officers in 50 states. So as a police officer, if I'm given an order that is an illegal order, I am under obligation of the law and under threat of penalty of jail time if I don't refuse an illegal order. If I'm given an illegal order, I must refuse it.
All right.
And so you've got all these cops and you've got all these military people that have been schooled in that. They know that. And they're, you know, very loyal, patriotic kind of people. I just don't buy that that you could pull this off.
No, me neither. I really don't. You know, people. Somebody told me today that, you know, well, Hitler rounded up how many Jews? You know, I said, well, I don't think you can. You can't compare the two, really. I mean.
Yeah, but we saw how well that worked.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And any move like this would come to the same end. So,
yeah,
you know.
I think our government lies to us, and they don't tell us things, and they're probably wishing they could do that or planning on doing that, but they'd never, I don't think.
Well, I think some of them are. Some of the people in the government are, you know, true blue, hardcore, love the Constitution Americans.
Right.
Some of them may not be. I mean, right. But look here.
Yeah, not all the government's going to do that. Of course not.
Who was the most flamboyant and best known hero of the Revolutionary War?
Oh, geez.
At that time.
Yeah, I mean.
It was Aaron Burr. And Aaron Burr is known to us today as a traitor because he later became a traitor. But he was a great hero of the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
Okay, so, and my point with that is, are there people in the government that have evil intentions? Well, Aaron Burr was a great hero of the Revolutionary War, but he had evil intentions, and he tried to pull it off. It didn't succeed. Are there people like Aaron Burr today? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably are. Will it succeed? I don't think so.
No, I don't either. People got, they're just too much out there. People, are not just going to sit in their home and wait for somebody to come and handcuff them and drag them away. They're just not going to do it, I don't think.
Well, I think the majority of the people will. But there will be a significant number that will not, that would make the whole situation unmanageable.
They'd be causing some havoc, that's for sure.
Yeah, it would do that. Listen, man, I appreciate that call.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I think we're, don't get me wrong, and don't misquote me. There's one guy that always does and sends out these newsletters to everybody, so I expect that one. But don't get me wrong about this. I'm not saying that there are no people out there with evil intentions. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there are no people who plan to take over this government. I can give you the name of one. I can give you the name of an individual who plans to destroy this government and take over. His name is Bin Laden. Osama Bin Laden. Now, you might be saying, well, yeah, but that's a terrorist. Well, look, anybody who plans to crash the Constitution, in my book, is a terrorist. So, are there others? Could there be some on the inside of our government who have those same intentions? Yeah, there could be. And just from the sheer size of our government, just from the sheer size of the number of people that work in this government, I think it's a safe assumption to say there probably are. But that isn't what you want. That's not what I want. That's not what multiple millions of us in this country want. So how successful could it be? I don't think it can be successful. And I just don't think that the things that people are so fearful of are actually going to take place. If they do try, it's not going to succeed. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ryan in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
As far as the people that didn't like the guests that you had on the other night, you know, I think whenever you have a talk show, there's always going to be, no matter how what you do, there's always going to be a small portion of people that are dislike how you do your show or want to tell you how to do things different. No matter, pretty much every talk show out there has a portion of people that do that. And
well, let me clarify something here. I agree with you, but let me clarify something. It doesn't matter which guest I have on. I get the same percentage of email that says, I can't believe you had that guy, or I can't believe you had that person on. Had that lady on, you know, that person's a fruitcake. I get the same percentage. I mean, it doesn't matter if I have Stanton Friedman on or if I have Richard Hoagland or Michio Kaku or it doesn't matter who. I get the same percentage. I'm just amazed that percentage is out there. In you know, in these days when we say that, you know, we want to be open-minded, we want to. Have free discussion freedom of speech and freedom of thought. Well, you can't have that if you're restricting people from saying what they're saying.
Yeah, I think that for the people in the audience or something that are upset about a guest that you have and they think you should ask some different questions, and I don't think they're going to get anywhere by sending you flash messages and all this kind of thing. I think they just need to kind of let it go if they don't. There's been a few guests that I thought were kind of nuts, and I didn't film about it. I just kind of like, you know, I still listen, but I just kind of let it go in my own head, and I don't think people are going to be able to change your show. You've been doing the show for so long. Anyways, what I want to call and talk about was coming up on the 4th of July weekend here. One thing that I've been wanted to talk about Well, that the topic that brings up, I think, is Roswell.
All right.
Here we are 61 years later after 61 or 62, I can't remember. Have you come to any kind of idea of what you think might have happened? I'm starting to think that possibly there was two crashes at Roswell. The one crash with the thing I don't understand is there was the debris field. The debris was so indestructible that it couldn't be torched, it couldn't be cut, nothing could happen. But it was scattered all over a field, right?
Yeah. Broken. Mm-hmm.
And then you had the other craft that was found, that was supposedly with the bodies.
That's true, over at Corona.
I think one was, I mean, I'm coming to the conclusion that one was real, a real flying saucer with real occupants. And the reason why I think that, personally, is because of the memo that was in, Ramey's hand?
Yeah, General Ramey.
The analysis done on that, you know, it even says on there, they were able to determine that it was talking about occupants.
Yeah. Yeah, and bodies. Yeah.
Here's
where I come down.
Smoke screen,
here's where I come down on Roswell. The event happened. There's no question about that. The intelligence officer of the air wing there, the 509th, that was the only atomic wing that we had. It was the only one that existed on the planet at the time, and the intelligence officer was Jesse Marcel. And to think that Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer for the most highly classified weapon system we had at the time, did not know what he was looking at. To think that he didn't know that that's not one of ours, that's not our stuff, is ludicrous. Now, Jesse Marcel has said that what he saw was not from this world, and that's a quote. Jesse Marcel knew aircraft from all over the world. His job, primarily as an intelligence officer, he was an air intelligence officer, he looked at aerial photographs and picked out weapon systems and things that were on the ground from those grainy photographs they had back then. That's what he did. He was an expert at it. And he was the intelligence officer for the only atomic air wing on the planet. And when he said that it's not from this world, I believe him. I think it absolutely happened. And I think that the cover-up ensued almost immediately under the command of General Ramey. And that's about where it stands. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. We've got a couple of minutes before break. If you will, tell us your first name and where are you calling from. Hello, caller. All right. Did Roswell actually happen? Yeah, it did. I think the evidence is in. There are a lot of details that we can't color in right now. A lot of details that we may never be able to color in. But, you know, did it happen? Yeah, I think so. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Terry from Ohio.
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah, I was listening to a guy talking about the concentration camps and possibility of rounding up people.
Yep.
And I was thinking that they're going to try that under the guise of food shortages and probably unemployment. You know, come with us, you know, and we'll take care of you. You know, and a lot of people will fall for that, you know, won't have any choice, and that's kind of a logical way that they might try that.
Well, you know, now something like that might work, but the idea of sending police or troops to just round people up and herd them into these camps, I don't think that'll fly.
Yeah, no, in the end, no. But I think that's probably, you know, with the food stuff that they're trying to say, you know, we're in our shortage now and the economy, you know, I think that's kind of what they're trying to set up, you know, and fool people, you know. Yeah, we'll come and take care of you. We can't take care of you all over the world, but, you know, you come here and there's food and...
It could be. Terry, we're into a break. Do you want to hold on through the break, or have you said what you want to say?
No, that's pretty much all I had to say. Thanks.
All right, Terry, I appreciate the call. Yep, the break's taking over. We got to step out for a few minutes here. We'll be right back. And we are back. During the break, I was checking some of the email that came in. I have a flash message here that I want to get to from Scotland, and we'll open up the telephone line again at 1-623-581-5148. Mike in Scotland says, your video is great and working well. And then he talks about a link that he sent to me and gives it to me again here. Mike, I did get your previous email with that link in it. I just haven't had the time this afternoon to take a look at that. But I will after the show tonight. I want to thank you for the flash message. But he starts off by saying the video is working great. Okay, then I've got one let's see. This is from Jan, and he says, cannot hear me talk. I'm hearing too loud music, and now it's 30 minutes into the show, and I can barely hear you. Jan, read what's on the screen, right in the middle of the screen, right down there by the controls for the player. It says, watching video, turn the volume off on the player. You can either listen to the radio stream, or you can listen to the audio that's on the video, but you have to turn one of them off. Okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio again.
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah, I got off the track there on that concentration camp. Back to your guest that unfortunately didn't show up today.
Yeah.
I seen on a documentary on TV like 7,500 years ago where they take ice cores from the Arctic. Another guy is a Balkanoid ologist.
Yeah.
And another one is some guy that researches sea creatures at the bottom that, you know, what their shells are made of, a different kind of oxygen.
Yeah.
Sulfur in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing that that's was the last ice age because of a super volcano, which they, I guess, tracked back to somewhere in China.
Okay.
But I guess we have several super volcanoes around the world, especially here in the United States, and Yellowstone could be a super volcano
mm-hmm.
that thrusted us into an ice age.
Well, ice ages can happen, can be triggered by something very calamitous like a super volcano eruption. But there are cycles as well, and with a, you know, regularity like a clockwork, we go into ice ages. The global warming thing, you know, you and me and everybody else listening to this show has lived in a period of global warming since the day they were born. Their parents, their grandparents, great-grandparents all lived in a period of global warming. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that because we're not in an ice age. And what is it that brings you out of an ice age? Global warming. And what's on the other? What's on both ends of a warming period? An ice age. And, you know, what's at the end of both ends of a valley? A mountain. You know, what's at the end, both ends of a global warming period? An ice age. And so, you know, look, the U.S. Army has weighed in on this. Let me pull this up. The Army, all right. Listen to this. The Army is weighing in on the global warming debate. This is June the 3rd. This is a month ago, 2008. Dr. Bruce West with the Army Research Office argues that, quote, changes in the Earth's average surface temperature are directly linked to the short-term statistical fluctuations in the sun's irradiance and the longer-term solar cycles, end quote. Okay, now that's the Army. How many scientists signed the UN document, you know, that said, oh, we're having this global warming and the sky is falling? What was it, about 200?
Yeah, I think it's all just the guys, yeah.
I think it was about 200. It might have been 2,000. Listen to this. On May 19th, 2008, that's 6 weeks ago, 31,000 scientists have, with 9,021 PhDs in the group, 31,000 scientists have signed a document disputing the UN's global warming claims.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And this was reported at the National Press Club. in the Holloman Lounge in Washington, D.C. I'm sorry. Yeah, Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. I guess they're going to have to change their tune, huh?
Well, you know, are we going through a period of warming? Yes, and we have been our whole life. Look, how old are you?
I'm 50.
All right, I'm 54. So we're in the same age group. All right, when you were a kid, were the winters colder than they are now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had snow, you know, in Ohio here, you know, where, you know, in the winter times, you couldn't even see in the fields because they were plowed so high on the side of the road. But now, you know, it's, you know, we barely get hardly any snow.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was a kid, it was so cold that a high wind in that cold, cold air would just cut through you as you walked to school.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, you know, we'd have temperatures in Dallas, you know, many times during the winter where it would be down to zero. And I can remember that well. They don't have that now.
No.
And, you know, we've been in a period of global warming our entire lives. And what's interesting is even NASA is now beginning to say, we think that the global warming is over. Let me read this to you. This is May the 1st, 2008, 2 months ago.
Okay.
Quote, the allegedly warming Earth is in for about 30 years of cooling, according to NASA, one of the leading global warming theory advocates. NASA has confirmed that a developing natural climate pattern will likely result in much colder temperatures, according to Mark Shepard, writing in the April 30th American Thinker. He adds that NASA was also quick to point out that such natural phenomena should not confuse the issue of man-made greenhouse gas-induced global warming, which apparently will be going on behind the scenes, while our teeth are chattering from a decade and a half of cold spell. So what they're saying is, well, we're not going to retract our statement about global warming, but we got this little ice age coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They talk about the sea, Gulf, where that controls the climate, you know, is cooling and slowing down the stream, which is causing a lot of our weather.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you know, but now I want to make something clear. Even though I don't buy and have never bought this theory that we humans are causing global warming, and I haven't done so, not based on politics, not based on emotion about it, but based on the evidence. Yeah. I've never bought that theory. Having said that, it cannot be good for us to be pumping all of this poison into the air. And I'm, you know, do I think we ought to clean up our air? Absolutely. I think we should clean up our air and do everything we can to do so as rapidly as is feasible, because it's full of poisons that are not only displacing oxygen, but, you know, they have there's got to be a connection with all this stuff we're breathing and the high cancer rate.
Yes, yeah, I think we've had technology to get us away from coal and oil. It's just the power to be to overcome that.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't buy the sky is falling. I don't buy the idea the future is gone. I don't buy the idea that the best days of our country are behind us. You know, my best days, I'm 54. My best days are certainly not behind me. They're ahead of me. And so, you know, I just don't buy that stuff. And I think people are scaring themselves into many corners that they cannot come out of. I just don't think that's healthy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think they're getting a lot of help from people that they truly believe and trust that, you know, are pulling the wool over their eyes.
How long have you been listening to this show?
Oh, I've been listening to you for a couple years, at least.
Well, you've heard me say this, then. You've heard me tell this story, probably. When I have a cousin that's 6 months older than me, and his mother and my mother are identical twins. So we were raised pretty much like brothers. And we were having a conversation. This was back when we were young teenagers. And he was really cranked up about, of course, that was during the Cold War. And he was really cranked up about, the Russians having nukes aimed at us. And, what are we going to do about that? And what is our country going to do about that? And, we were having that sort of discussion. I said to him then, and I say now, you know what? If they pushed the button 30 minutes ago, we're gone in about 20 more minutes. But we didn't know it, and we lived. We're into a break, and we're going to have to run, but thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, if they pushed the button 30 minutes ago, we lived that 30 minutes and didn't know it. I think that's the way it is with Nibiru. I think that's the way it is with all this other stuff we're talking about. Live. Live till you don't. We'll be back right after this. You could be the one that I spoil with my charm. You could be the one that I kiss goodnight. You could be the one that I hold oh so tight. Baby, my baby, you could be. Oh, baby, my baby, you could be. Baby, my baby, you could be.
Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download.
Welcome back. I want to remind you again about something I talked with you about a little bit earlier, and that is Vans for Vets. Really, folks, those of you who are in the United States, and that's the majority of the audience, this Friday is 4th of July, and we're celebrating the Independence Day, the birthday of our country. This is a great time if you've got, an extra few bucks, $5, $10, 100, 1,000, whatever, depends on, you know, what income level you're at. But, you know, these are veterans. We asked them to stand up for us, and they did. And they've been injured and maimed, and they need our help. And Vans for Vets provides them with specially outfitted vehicles, and they're not on loan. They give them to them free of charge, all right? If you've got a few extra bucks laying around and you want to do something really, really good, do it with vansforvets.org. All right, go over there and check it out. It's really a worthy organization. All right, the telephone line is open once again at 623-581-5148. I am fully cognizant, if I can get it said, I'm fully cognizant of the fact that people have a lot of fears and uncertainties about the future. I don't belittle that. I don't make fun of that. I have some trepidation about the future myself as I see things shaping up, and I see things happening not only in this country but in other countries around the world that, to me, are somewhat disturbing. But I see no reason for us to be fearful. Our guest last night said that, and I thought he was exactly right, that fear is the first step of defeat. And I think that's right. I see no reason to be fearful for the future. I don't think that we should be hopeful just because we decide to be hopeful. I think we have to make the hope happen. And, you know, we talk on this show primarily about paranormal things, UFO things, space exploration, futuristic science. People sometimes say, you know, well, you know, I think that I get emails like this. People say, well, I think, you know, we're going to be invaded by extraterrestrials and they're going to take over our country. And I've gotten... I've gotten emails where people reference this movie, Independence Day, and they say they think that the government had something to do with leaking that information out because they think that's what's going to happen. I don't think so. Look, anything's possible, right? I mean, we live in a strange world. Anything's possible. But I don't think that the government leaked out the plot to Independence Day because of the fact that they think that's what's going to happen. But people are very fearful about a lot of things. People are fearful of anything. I talk to people personally that are fearful about anything paranormal. They view anything paranormal as either wacky or as something that's evil. Well, whether it's wacky or whether it's evil can only be determined by listening to those involved, hearing what they have to say, asking them questions, grilling them with questions, and then you make up your own mind as to whether you think it's wacky or evil. You may decide it's not either. But I think it's important that we not be fearful. But maybe you are. I don't know. I mean, I get a lot of email and we get a lot of calls from people who are fearful about the future. I'm not. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited about this thing that we're hearing that... extraterrestrials are supposed to be showing up here unambiguously, and we get different dates, you know, 2013, let's see, 2009, 2010, we've heard that date on this show, 2013, 2017, we've heard all those dates. Don't know when it's going to happen, don't know for sure that it will, but I'm pretty excited about it. I'll tell you one thing. All our speculations about whether these guys have our best interest at heart or not will be answered when that happens. There'll be no more speculation then. It'll be answered when it happens. And I'm not fearful of that because, look, think about this. Let's say, let's just take that event. Let's say it's coming. Let's say it's for sure it's coming, that extraterrestrials are going to show up. Maybe they will, but let's just say that it's a certainty, all right? Now, if it is a certainty and you're fearful of it, will that stop it from happening? No. It won't stop anything. What it will, well, it will. It'll stop a lot of things, but it will not stop the event from happening. It'll stop you from enjoying life between now and then. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay, caller is not there. All right, the telephone number, and we have a little bit of time left here. I'll take one more call. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. 1-623-581-5148. So the reason I'm addressing this is because even during this show, I've got an email that's very fearful. And folks, there's no reason for us to be fearful about the future. We are the future. I mean, if you start thinking about the future as something separate from you, it means you're considering yourself to be the past. You do realize that this minute that we're experiencing right now, this moment, this second, was the future just 1 second previous. So the future is simply the present that hasn't arrived yet. And we are the ones who are creating what's going to happen in the future. So I'm not afraid of me. Are you afraid of you? I don't know why we need to be afraid of the future. Now, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I just don't get it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Paul from New York City.
Yeah, Paul.
I tell you, I spoke with the guest that you had on last night, and he really did scare me when he said that we're going to have a contact in New York City in the coming, I think he said 6 months or a year or whatever, and that, I was really taken aback by that and really shocked me. In fact, I had it on my mind all day today.
Yeah, but what if that contact is, yeah, what if that contact is something that's going to be really wonderful?
Yeah, well, you know what, you can look at it as wonderful or you can look at it as bad. You know, like you said, you mentioned the movie Independence Day. I mean, what happens if it's that?
Well, if that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. And being fearful of it now won't stop it, but it will stop you from enjoying life.
I agree on that, but it was just something that blew me away when he mentioned that to me last night.
Well, I can understand it's a little bit shocking to hear, but look, anything that is, I mean, if it is going to happen, then it just is, and whatever is. But to fear it, that doesn't mean we should, not prepare. We should prepare, but to fear it, that just stops us from enjoying life between now and then. And, I gave up having bad days. I really did. You know, they don't pay you any more to have a bad day.
I agree. And
if they're not going to pay me more to have a bad day, I'm not going to have one. Paul, we've hit the end of the show, man. Thanks
okay,
for the call.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Well, it's been interesting and it's been fun. And I am so glad that you were here for this show. And it's been a delight for me. And I hope you'll be back with us on tomorrow. Because you know what's going to happen tomorrow is we're going to have Ron Rigger with us. And that's going to be a great show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.